Welcome to the Torbay Hospitality Podcast. I'm your host, Lynn, and I'm joined by our engineer, Alex. The purpose of this weekly podcast is to promote everything going on in hospitality in Torbay. We're talking about restaurants, pubs, bars, attractions, festivals, events, plus a jobs listing and our live music calendar. If you like what you hear, please share a 5-star review, tell your friends, and give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram for the very latest. It's time for the show. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Torbay Hospitality Podcast. Today, we are honored to have our co-host, Rehan Uddin. Thank you for joining us.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Looking forward to it.
Oh, brilliant. Amazing. Thanks so much. We want to give a shout out this week to Ella, to Carmen, Will, Leah, David, Anthony, and Jason. Thank you so much for all of your positive reviews. Now, Rehan, you're going to provide some commentary this week. Is that right?
Oh, yes. I'm here to give some great tidbits to what we're talking about today. So looking forward to it.
Oh, nice. Last night, I just wanted to say, we did attend the Torquay Chamber of Commerce meeting. It was over at the Hampton. And we were encouraged that these public meetings provide some challenge to how they are being run and to bring some kind of structure and strategy to how the chamber is working to try to influence the decisions that are being made in Torbay Council. So it was interesting to go and definitely a breath of fresh air. And I would recommend that other business leaders go. Have you ever been to a chamber meeting?
Haven't been to a chamber meeting as of yet, but the Hampton, lovely place. Love what Jackie's doing there. Absolutely awesome. Yeah. But I think it's great. It's something that where we need to build bridges across certain areas to sort of connect these businesses. Yeah. It's important that Torbay does this because looking forward, there needs to be a lot of cohesive efforts to build and structure. And the more conversations we have as a community, it's only going to lead to better things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that was like coming out of it last night. I think that everybody saw that there was a way forward and it's about, you know, collaboration, but also a bit of influence as well. You know, if you're the business owners, that you have to approach things in a strategic way with outcomes and outputs being, you know, the ultimate goal. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, if the chamber takes on some of the feedback from last night.
Well, I also think there's another aspect to it as well, where the businesses that don't attend these meetings, I attend other ones, but they actually know who the relevant people are. There's a lot of movers and shakers in here. And the more that you know, the more you're going to get out of it.
Yeah, definitely. We found that last night that there were a few new councillors that had attended. Newly elected councillors were in attendance. And it was funny because they only announced their presence like right at the end. They just looked like general members of the public and then stood up and say, hi, I'm a newly elected council member. So that was a bit, you know. So anyway, what I'm saying, I guess, is that the meeting was really interesting. And so I would recommend going to the one in June. And that is where the new leader of the council is going to be speaking. So then you can put your questions to them. So that's quite interesting.
That is very interesting. Yeah.
And in other news, this is absolutely massive. There are 9 beaches in Torbay that have met the standards to be awarded the Blue Flag Award. And these beaches are Breakwater, Broadsands, Meadfoot, Audicombe, Preston, and Tor Abbey Sands. And then there are other beaches that have the Seaside Awards flag, and that's Maidencombe, Goodrington, Paignton, and Anstey's Cove. And the Blue Flag Award is really, it shows sustainability, cleanliness, water quality, and a good level of safety. Where's your favorite beach, Rahul?
I live in Brixham.
Yeah, Breakwater?
Yeah, so for me it's there. A lot of valuable memories with the family up there, but also as a child growing up in Paignton, Paignton, always at the beach with the family. I've got a funny story, little one. Dad used to take us to the beach because we always used to cry and be like, take us to the beach, take us to the beach. So one day I was in the sea as a 5-year-old and he's just pushed me in and obviously gone in under the water. His ploy was, I don't want to be coming back here too often.
Let's make little Rehan scared of the beach.
Yeah. It didn't work though. So funny little family story. But I think with all of these relative elements with the Blue Flag Awards. It's brilliant in comparison to other areas of the country where we're going to be standing out head and shoulders above there. And it's a brilliant destination to come to with the family, buckets and spades, and where you go.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's a classic. So come on down to Torbay. You hear that? Turning over to hotel news, the Richardson Hotel Group has been shortlisted as finalists for Group Leisure and Travel Magazine Awards. And their hotels in the group are the Grand, obviously, the Falmouth, Royal Beacon in Exmouth, and Abbey Sands in Torquay. Congratulations to all the hotels and to, especially, of course, the Grand and Abbey Sands for being part of that iconic hospitality sector in Torquay. And the Redcliffe Hotel is hosting an air show watch party, and that's on the 3rd and 4th of June. You buy your tickets on Eventbrite, so that sounds like a good time. And, you know, you definitely want to get your tickets in advance for that. You like this story, eh? The Osborne Hotel now has e-bikes.
This is brilliant.
I know. It's an exciting offer. It's something a little bit different for tourists. I think hotels are always looking to differentiate themselves.
I think as its location as well, to get out and about and the scenic route that you can take, I think it's just goes hand in hand. So, yeah. Absolutely brilliant idea.
That's brilliant. You can find out more information. I think their Instagram is called the Osborne Apartments, but it's kind of that Hesketh Crescent development down near Meadfoot. And here's one, if you've got a bit of a spare change, Burr Island Hotel is up for sale. It's the island and the hotel has inspired Agatha Christie to write her best-selling novel, Evil Under the Sun. The hotel has featured many special guests over the years, such as Winston Churchill, the Duke of Windsor, and the Beatles. The hotel is being listed for £15 million. We'll have to see what the buyer has.
I'm sure if we get with the Chamber of Commerce and we all chip in, we could all have a share in this.
Can you imagine, right? It's Torbay too. So we'll see what plans the buyer has. You know, we'll see who buys it. It's really interesting. It would make a great like evil lair, wouldn't it?
I think so.
Down to Burr Island. So cool. It's a great place because like the tide comes in from both places and it has the sea tractor. It's just a really interesting property. And so, yeah, I can see, I don't know where they
sounds where somewhere where Elon would live.
Yeah, Elon, you've got 15 million sloshing around. Come on over. So yeah. And now turning to restaurant news. And I know that this is where you live, right, Rehan, with Indiyang. So we've got some new menus and some new announcements from restaurants. So the 21 in Torquay, they've announced their new summer menu and they've got some new sourdough pizzas. They've got a 5-0 burger. They've got a 5-0 with pulled pork and pineapple and a plant-based pizza, and that has padrone peppers. So if you'd like to try out the new menu, visit 21 on Victoria Parade. Ollie's on Torwood Street has announced that they're open on Sundays. So you book your table online at olliesrestaurant.co.uk. And the Embankment Bistro in Dartmouth has launched a new breakfast menu, and that is just in time for the music festival this weekend. And we've got another new menu, and this is over in Brixham, the Prince William. Have you ever been?
Know it well. Yes. Yeah. Know it well. Yeah, very good.
They've got a new menu, and honestly, I saw the seafood platter come across my screen on my phone, and I've never seen anything like it. It's got oysters, crab, prawns, and really interesting, sounds like an interesting thing, seaweed mayo. And the platter is absolutely huge. It looks incredible. You could pair it with a wine or their white sangria. How can you get better than that? Really good. And Hamilton's in Babbicombe, they are reopening. Congratulations to Marie and her team. They're relaunching their cafe bar, and it's starting from today. There are no reservations, so just walk in and enjoy the selection of drinks and bites. And we've got, an award winner. You know something about awards.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit about awards, yeah.
Yeah, the offshore on Vaughan Parade in Torquay has been awarded gold by Taste of the West. Congratulations to offshore and all of the staff that work there. And I just saw today, 3 degrees West in Oddicombe, they are really touting their new van. It's hard to get to Oddicombe Beach, let's be real. And so they've got a new shuttle bus, and it's turning out to be a really big success. And it just shows how a bit of ingenuity and investment can really pay off. So I guess you know something about ingenuity and innovation, eh, Rehan?
Yes, I do. I'm a huge fan of digital automation, so it's definitely my field. So, yeah, I mean, the shuttle bus idea is... very, very, it's a genius thing, to be fair. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be bringing your clients into you and then taking them back, I mean, you can't do better than that, especially after you're eating a big meal.
That's right. Honestly, I can imagine it's a bit like a little party bus. You know, everybody kind of gathers at the top of the hill and everybody wants to go home, have a good, go down to the bottom, have a good time, come back up together. It's right. I think it's a nice way when you're traveling to have, you know, people communicate with each other. So that's great. So obviously, Rahan, you're the owner at Indie Yang, yes?
That's right, yes, yeah, yes. Brilliant.
So yeah, you're an award-winning restaurant. I keep seeing you guys with a gold trophy in your hands.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing some big things, not just locally, but across the country as well. The restaurant itself, as the brand Indie Yang, is just over a year old. Previous to that, we were the owners of Bombay Express. Mm-hmm. Been there for 13 years. And things just went in a different direction and we thought it was time for a change.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, Indie Yang, it already sounds like a fusion because of the two words. They kind of don't go to, I've never seen the two words together before. It's really unique.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the brand ready for about 5 years. Yeah. Had it sitting in the background as the MD of the Asian Restaurant Owners Network. I've got about 3,000 restaurants that I speak to as well on a weekly basis for the past 6 years. And it gave me a real bird's eye view of what's happening and actually where things were going. So my sort of gambit here was really to look at what we're going to do and where we're going to go next. And the name Indie Yang is taken from the word Indian and yin and yang, which is the whole elements of balance. So it's Indian South Asian spices balanced with the Far Eastern spices and them two coming together. It's just not as easy as it sounds.
No, it doesn't. I know, but you have won some awards. Have you won, like, what is it, Taste of the West or Food and Drink Awards?
So as Bombay Express, we picked up some awards previous to that. And as Indie Yang, we've also picked up some awards. So it was a, we were picking up some top awards towards the end of Bombay Express and pulling the plug. People were looking at me funny and saying, why? Why are you changing this now? It's perfect. And I was like, well, you've not seen what's to come and what we've been working on in the background. So the awards we picked up recently was Best Bar and Restaurant Award for Best Pan-Asian Restaurant in Devon. We've picked up the Prestige Award last year as well. And there's a few more in the pipeline that we don't know where we've won those yet. Yeah. So fingers crossed.
Still going for them. That's really good.
You've got to enter these things. So I think Visit Devon is the next one we're entering as well as the Torbay Weekly Award. So a whole amount of paperwork to fill up, but enjoying it.
Oh, nice. That's brilliant. Yeah. You said, you know, off interview when we were talking about this, how are you start your menu with vegan food, really. And could you talk to us a little bit about that?
So it's a bit more than starting it with vegan food. It's actually getting the recipes built so they're good for you. At the root of everything we create, if it's not good for you and your body and positive for your gut, it just doesn't land on the menu. I think it's important to know that food in itself, as we know, is mass-produced. We see a lot of additives, preservatives, so much MSG across the board through Asian food that these things aren't good for you. And when we looked at our recipes, we're like, right, let's make our sauces default vegan as standard so it can fit every dietary requirement.
Yes.
But not compromise on taste. Let's have it really flavorsome. When we talk about healthy food or food that's good for you, we think salads.
I know.
And we think blandness and things that are toned down in taste, but it doesn't have to be that way if you have these wonderful spices, these wonderful ingredients from across Asia. An interesting fact that people may not know is the only spice originally from India is the black peppercorn.
Really?
No other spice. That's the only original spice. Everything else has migrated. Chilies from Portugal, lentils from North Africa, okra from North Africa. So the migration of these different ingredients have passed across into India.
Okay.
And that's what's been the a differential. So to be able to create that baseline at the start of our menu means our customers' health is the first priority. Everything else comes after.
Yeah. Did you say that you were launching a new menu that focused on like gut health? That's quite innovative, I think.
Yeah, I think during COVID, we saw a lot of people get in touch with their healthier side. We saw Joe Wicks doing all of the exercise alongs on television for the kids. I think people are more gym conscious. People are more health conscious. So I think it fits the mold of what people are transitioning towards. But are there any offerings that have that default setting that can have that variety of food as well? I thought that's where there was a little gap in the market for us.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, that's good. You've mentioned, you know, that you're changing your menu quite a bit and that you're trying to innovate with that. So how do you make sure that your menu like stays exciting for people? Like, do you, you know, are you attending like seminars? Do you do a lot of reading? Where do you get your inspiration? Are you just go out to eat a lot? London?
So through connecting, along the Asian Restaurant Owners Network, speaking to chefs across the world, it's amazing how much knowledge you can sort of ascertain. So from Vietnamese chefs, Thai chefs, Chinese, Nepalese, they've all got different ways of cooking, different mechanisms, different techniques and different ingredients that pair together. So I'll give you an example of what I learned recently was watermelon seeds can be roasted and crushed to taste like cashews. And that in itself is a differential take on being able to provide a dish that tastes like cashews, but it's not free.
Yes, yes. Because isn't cashew a tree nut?
Yes. So you have all of these elements where people have allergens and things of that nature. So the gluten-free element of our menu is interesting to see which way people are going with that. Some who are celiac, some who are not, they just have an intolerance to gluten, and being able to provide those things, which most Asian restaurants, because of soy sauce, cannot. And that's always an interesting thing. But when we're talking about making things exciting, we've just, we have a digital tandoori oven.
Yeah, I've heard, of this.
So I work with a company called Rationale. They're the leading global combi oven creators in the world. I create the settings for their units that go around the world. And one of the things that's also incorporated with that is a USB smoker. So we were able to pull out a smoked, a maple smoked pulled Korean beef overnight cook, which I can monitor from my phone from home to see how it's doing, what temperature it's reached, and then it goes into hold mode. So when we come in, it's ready to go. So these are time saving, energy saving. We can get as creative as we want, because in terms of what we want to smoke it with, take your pick.
Oh, that's amazing. Could you just repeat the name of that menu item while I just sit here? So what is it?
So it's maple smoked Korean pulled beef, which we use in our Punjabi pancakes, our Korean bao buns. So these are the things that people are looking for, new, brand new taste memories, things that you've never tasted before and that your taste buds haven't reacted to yet. So it's definitely an experience.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Building new taste memories. I love that. So when you first opened up your restaurant, you know, I imagine that you faced some challenges. Do you think that that was people saying like, you know, Bombay Express is on a flyer and now you're changing to Indie Yang? Is that couldn't have been your only challenge? Or did you find that you did a lot of planning so you didn't have many challenges?
I knew what was going to come. We were going to face a massive drop. It was always going to drop because people are very configured to what they know. You've got people, Indian food in the UK is massive. It's a £5 billion industry. Mm. You've got people that go into Indian restaurants and know the menu off the back of the hand, partly to do with the fact that the menus haven't changed in 20 years, but we'll move on. The idea behind starting this whole new concept was we were going to go back to zero and start again. So from a successful business that was trading, fully profitable, the long-term route of that, which we are seeing today in Asian restaurants, and I see it from the network, is the frequency of sales was always going to drop because it's saturated. It's massively saturated. And the cost of living crisis, which we didn't know was coming, has come. And that's it's over-exaggerated the process. So that's been a key indicator for us that we made the right decision. Not knowing that these things were coming to fetch. So we've kind of fluked it in that respect. But starting from zero again and building a brand, I think that was the important thing here. I was on a TV show in London, which I ended up winning. But they asked me, why is it called Bombay Express? Why haven't you got like a new name, something more funky, more of the time? And it was a landmark destination was my response in a small town that knows it, knows where it is. So when actually changing the name, I messaged the one of the judges. I said, I've done it. I've changed it. And the idea behind it is that those issues of, are you going to see the same clientele coming in and walking out because they don't find the dishes that they wanted and knew, and actually felt insulted that their 20 years of curry knowledge was thrown away and new elements that they had to relearn were coming in, new tastes, new flavors. Mm. But actually the demographic that we built was a whole new audience.
Yes.
And that audience are very much into the intelligent cooking systems, ingredients and pairings because they cook at home.
Yes.
These are foodies that are coming into the restaurant and they absolutely love it.
I think that lockdown really, you know, contributed a lot to that. There was a lot, everybody had a lot of spare time to, you know, to break their own sourdough bread and things like that. And so, yeah, I think that is part of it. And then people started to experiment with different things and read up on all different types of gut health and gluten and new fusion food and things like that.
Really, yeah, I think that between the demographic of what people know, if they eat outside their comfort zone all the time or if they don't, there's a lot of knowledge that they do have about food. Even some of my younger members of staff knew before we launched the menu, I'm talking about, like, oh, we know about this, we know about that. And I'm like, okay, we're on the right track because that's where the generation's going, especially from the Japanese point of view when we're talking about anime and manga. They're very much attuned to that culture.
Yes.
So they're very, very much adjusted to the Asian way of eating because they see these characters eating ramen on television.
Yes.
That's what I want. And we see the success of big names like Wagamamas, etc. Yes. So these are staple elements that actually push us towards knowing that actually this is the curve it's taking. Mm-hmm. Where do we fit along that curve? How much does Torquay actually want this in the first place? Mm-hmm. And are we going to be able to do it justice by bringing these flavors and cultural identities to the Bay? And thankfully, we've done all right.
So far, so good, right? Yeah, I've heard some really good things about your menu items, in particular the Punjabi pancakes. Everybody seems to love those.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the base made out of? What's the pancake made out of?
So the pancake in itself is made out of a dough that is coated with a vegan butter. So generally speaking, when you're making these things, they're very akin to a paratha, which is a flaky pastry akin to like a croissant layered pastry. So when we're doing that, we're rolling it, layering it, rolling it back up, layering it with the vegan butter. And what that does is it creates different layers within it. The idea for the pancakes came from the fact that, okay, Indian food pancakes doesn't really exist.
Yes.
But from the Far East, pancakes, duck, that elements do exist. So in the yang, as we are, decided that actually let's go and try and create something that fits the mold. So it's cut open. It's filled with whether you want the pulled beef, the spicy chole, which is the chickpeas. We've got a Punjabi prawns. And these are the elements that actually allow customers to try this as either a starter or pair it with a side to have it with the main course. Or just buy the Punjabi pancake on its own, which a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So it's a whole new take and experience. And people are raving about them at the moment.
That seems to have taken social by storm locally. That's great. What are your vision and plans for the future of your restaurant? So what do you see? What's next for Indie Yang?
So just finishing our first year, just in March just gone by, we've got a good baseline of what customers are liking, what they're repeat ordering. We're on our 12th menu, just over a year. And the idea is to keep new, exciting things coming back, but the staple core elements, remain.
Yeah.
We're looking at how does this grow? So the idea has always been to create a kitchen system that is built on the reduced manual labor intensity, reduced prep hours, and being able to have it interchangeable between the front of house and the kitchen. So you have a staff, which we know is massively short in the hospitality sector at the moment. Skills at the levels need to be 10 years plus to run an Asian cooker if you're going to do it in a certain way without the digital automation.
Yes.
But if we're able to do this and create consistency and have it set up so that my intelligence is in that system,
built in.
Everything comes out the same. It's drop and drag, so it speaks the language of the youth. It's very much foolproof so that no one can make mistakes. And everything comes out the same every time. So that means, which we're doing at the moment, so we have a young chap called Sebastian who's moved from the front of house into the kitchen seamless.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
And that for
gives you that flexibility and it gives him a career path. And
absolutely.
Answers a lot of, you know, problems that people have.
There's a lot of pressure in kitchens. There's a lot of things that need to be done at the right time And everything needs to come together for that main core service to hit the table at the right time. And for that to happen, you need to have the right timings on the machines. But you also need the staff members to have that knowledge of how and when it's going to go in. Mm-hmm. So if we can simplify all those things and make that the easy part, it takes a lot of pressure off the chefs. It takes a lot of pressure off the front of house, and the customer ends up getting a better service.
Yeah. Okay. That's incredible. I know that that's so, yeah, it seems like Indie Yang is just like innovation personified. That's great. But I think that, you know, you've got a lot of things going on kind of personally and professionally, like in your career.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you mentioned that you were going to be doing something in September in London.
Yeah. So I've got an opportunity to cook at a Wembley Stadium for some hotels, bars, restaurants as well. The idea is to showcase this spectacular technology from Rationale.
Yes.
And be able to showcase to restaurants how they can actually work with smaller teams, work more efficiently, save energy, which is definitely the trend of today,
yeah.
And being able to build these networks. I mean, LinkedIn has been massive for me in that respect, and being able to pull together some of the big names from the capital, which is going to be phenomenal. So, yeah, very much looking forward to getting up there. And of course, Wembley Stadium. Oh,
yeah.
Can't wait.
I know. But yeah, when you're talking about like cooking in front of people, you said that you've got something going on YouTube.
Yeah. So a few years ago, we embarked on an award show for the Asian Restaurant Owners Network. And a part of that was creating a TV cooking show, which was called Chili Chili Bang Bang, which you can find on YouTube. And it's about pairing a chef with just a general member of the public to produce high-end Asian cuisine. And it is hilarious from start to finish, but definitely entertaining, which we broadcast for the first time at the show and announced the winner on the night, which was also amazing. So yeah, Chili Chili Bang Bang, look that up.
Oh, that's great. So what do you, so we're looking out from, we're in Beacon Quay and we're just looking out across the bay. And so you're looking, you see some hotels and restaurants and the beaches and things like that. So what do you think is next for hospitality in Torbay? What's the outlook?
The outlook's tough immediately, just because of the cost of living crisis that we're seeing, and speaking to restaurants up and around the bay, there's differing elements of what they see to be happening and what's happening now. There are a lot of busy places here. There's people doing a lot of trade. I think it comes down to the customer's choice and your visibility and what you're doing that's new.
Yes.
People want to pay for experiences. They want to have that social element where they can tell people about where they've been. They want to be proud of where they've been. And they want to show off to their friends and family about that, this is what I've done. Mm. And in terms of that, we see some wonderful restaurants. I know Otto's just opened, looks amazing. We just spoke about 21 Offshore and Ollie's, which is just, phenomenal. Yeah. So we're looking at these elements, and they've all said to be doing something new, as we discussed. So people need to understand that if you're going to stand out from the crowd, if you want to be spoke about, if you want to be the word of mouth, which is what builds business, then you have to be doing something that's recognizable and somewhat off the usual beaten track.
Yeah, I agree with that. So yeah, thank you very much for answering our questions today. It's been really informative. And I think, your outlook on things, it just offers like a really fresh perspective to what's happening in hospitality. And I think Indie Yang, it does feel like a one-off, you know, and that is what you want. That's the experience that you want.
I think it's a niche element where 17 Asian restaurants in the area, majority of which are doing the same thing.
Yes.
To stand out from that needed a big change. And that's what we've done.
That's great. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. Absolute pleasure.
That's great. So shall we turn over to Barneys? You up for that?
Yeah, let's do it.
We've got a bar in Brixham has been awarded Pub of the Year and also Cider Pub of the Year. It's the Queen's Arms on Station Hill. Do you know it?
No, very well. I used to deliver there as a youngster. We used to have a restaurant in Brixham at that time. And late night deliveries to the landlord. Remember that very well.
That's great. So they've been given that award earned that award from South Devon Camera. So congratulations to the team. And Halulu Bar has an announcement. They have a competition. They're going to be having a bank holiday party on the 28th of May with cocktails, DJ sets, and a summer beach party. What more could you want? Head on down to the Tinmouth Seafront to enjoy and watch them transport you to Ibiza. You can sign up or enter their competition on their Instagram, and that is for bottle service. So the winner of the competition doesn't even have to visit the bar. You get a bottle service.
VIPs.
That's right, VIP. And now turning to supplier news. Congratulations to Sanford Orchards. They've announced that their Devon Red Cider has won Food Magazine Southwest Reader Awards for the best drink product just last night. So congratulations to their team. And the Offshore Bays Festival is back. It's this weekend from noon to 10 on Sunday. The Offshore is, of course, your destination for live music, and they're going to have New Days, Mafia 4, and The Captain's Beard. I wonder what that is. It sounds like a fun band. The event is supported by local breweries, Bays and Hunt Cider, Devon Rum, and Torquay Coastal Gin. And there's going to be a barbecue there too. There's no need to book. Just visit the Offshore on Vaughan Parade and join in the fun.
I do love the New Days.
Yeah, oh God.
I do love the New Jesse. Days. They're epic.
Hi, Jesse. Thunderflower Distillers in Tinmouth, they won an entry in the Gin Guide Award in 2023. And they're also kindly sending some bottles of gin over to a very special event. It's taking place in just a few weeks' time. Ollie Stevens' second album launch is on Friday, May 26th at St. Michael's Church on the seafront near Teen Bean in Tinmouth. Tickets are available on Eventbrite. It's going to be a party and a concert with some special guests, and it's going to take place in this beautiful church, and there will be a five-piece band. We're going to talk with Ollie now. Welcome to the podcast, Ollie.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and so an album release. Tell us about it. What's it called? Where can people get it?
Yeah, I'm really excited. This is my second album. As you said, it's been about 4 years in the making.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, a few things held it up.
But just like global matters.
Yes. That's right. started recording the demos in 2019, just up the road in Paignton. And it was just going to be an acoustic album. And then I decided after a couple of years of just listening to the songs in the same format, I kind of got a bit bored of them. So I thought, well, if I'm going to get bored, then maybe other people might get bored. So
yeah,
I needed to give it some more zhuzh. And I've added some more musicians to the songs. There's 12 songs on there. The album is called Say What You Really Feel, and it's coming out tomorrow.
That's incredible. So where can people buy it?
Well, it's going to be everywhere, just about everywhere online that you can imagine. All the big the big names, Spotify, iTunes, Google, and even the smaller ones like your Deezers and all the other ones.
Okay, that's awesome. We've got two songs that we're listening to today. And I've got to tell you, I started to listen to your single a few weeks ago, and it's starting to come up in my algorithm.
Oh.
So yeah, it's really good.
Nice.
So the first one's called Sorry, and it's got like this kind of, I like it because it's got this like slow build. And when I first listened to it, I wasn't sure where it was headed. And then it's got this beautiful drop with this kind of like tinkling piano and like some beautiful steel guitar. So who features on this track, or do you actually play steel guitar? Or
it's not me. I wish it was, but it's a lovely lady by the name of Sarah Jory. She actually, her claim to fame is that she toured with Van Morrison for a good few years.
Wow!
And she's based here in Devon, but she finds herself heading off to Nashville and Texas and wherever else to perform. So she's the person behind that sound of that steel pedal steel guitar.
Yeah, it's funny because the song is called Sorry, and then of course that steel guitar, it's just so sad, and it's so it's almost like an emotional type of instrument.
Yeah.
So what's the song Sorry about?
It's about a breakup.
Is it?
And it wasn't actually a very sour breakup at all. Actually, it was quite a nice, as far as breakups go, it was quite a nice one. And I just wanted to leave it on a nice note. And in fact, this is for like the music buffs out there. The song starts on a minor chord and finishes on a major chord. And it's a kind of a, excuse me, it's a kind of a, it's like a little Easter egg of how something might seem sad at the beginning that finishes on a happy note at the end.
Yeah, you do notice that the song kind of changes in the middle, but I didn't know that that's what it was.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did recognize that. That's brilliant. Shall we have a listen?
Let's do it.
I had to call you up with a message that hurt, 'cause I knew I couldn't give you all the love you deserved. But then life, it gets in the way. Oh yes, life gets in the way. Oh, I told myself that I could never write you a song, 'cause I thought I didn't love you. We weren't together that long. But then life, it has a funny way, changes you and me, it changes every day. But I'm sorry, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry.
That is so beautiful. Thank you for that, Ollie.
Thank you.
So tell me, you know, I know that the piano features quite prominently in this, and I know that you play piano. So are you actually playing on this track?
It wasn't me. No, I didn't play any of the instruments on this track, actually. It's because of my sort of studio. My timing isn't particularly great. And because I wanted it to sound really tight, I've actually employed a lot of musicians to play on this album and then on this track in particular. So I'm not playing very much at all, but I did write everything.
Yes.
That's my sort of claim. I've written all the lyrics and the music, so I'll take the credit for that. But the piano, the pianist that you hear on that is a guy called John Bangham from North Devon. He plays in quite a few different bands around. And then we've got Sarah, who I mentioned. Adam Sweet is playing rhythm guitar.
Okay.
He's a wonderful blues musician in his own right. Steve Down, who tours with Joss Stone.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Joe Harris is a drummer from Paignton.
Okay.
And who else is on there? Paddy Blight, who's responsible for the whole production of this album and has played bass guitar and many other instruments on the album as well.
Okay.
So a big shout out to those guys.
Definitely, for sure. So the second track that you're kind enough to share with us, we're just so privileged. This is a bit of a preview. We Don't Need Any Reason to Fall in Love. So tell us about that song.
Yeah, it's a nice song. It's just a lighthearted sort of. When I wrote the song, I was imagining a young guy in a kind of like 1950s American diner, yes, sort of thing. And in walks this girl, and she's kind of maybe a bit of a cheerleader type. And she's got the big kind of muscly boyfriend with her. And from that, you know, up until that moment, this young lad, he's sort of, you know, he's down on his luck. He's on his own. Some of the lyrics are, it was always half empty in my favorite cup. You know, that sort of the glass, yes, is half empty kind of observation. And in walks this young lady, and his life just kind of gets turned around, and they realize that, you know, love is a more wholesome experience rather than, you know, sort of materialistic, yeah, reasons.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah. Now, I love that. Yeah, I can't wait to hear the lyrics. Let's have a listen.
Okay.
I was feeling kind of lonely till you showed up. It was always half empty in my favorite cup. And there seemed to be a permanent cloud over me. I was shaking all the branches of the wrong trees. And I guess it's luck, but one thing's for sure, I never gave up. We don't need any reason to fall in love. We don't need any reason to fall in love.
I was feeling kind of lonely when I walked in. You could tell by the way I frowned when I looked at him. He held me in his arms like I was some kind of trophy. And that's the moment when you smiled as you looked at me. Oh, and I guess it's love.
A duet.
Okay, yeah, that's the wonderful vocals of Alex Hart. She's a Plymouth-based singer-songwriter. She's been touring with some of the members of Jethro Tull.
Wow.
Yeah, she's touring with Seth Lakeman this year. And she's just a fabulous singer and a wonderful lady, so yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's great. So we're really looking forward to your album launch party. I know that we've got our tickets here at Torbay Hospitality. So can you remind us again when it is, where it is?
It's Friday, the 26th of May. Mm-hmm. It's at St. Michael's Church in Tynmouth, which is the one down on the seafront by the Lido, Teen Bean. Tickets are still on sale on the Eventbrite website, and you can pay on the door as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. And so who will be there? I know that you've got a lot of featured artists on your album mm-hmm. that have joined you on various tracks. So yeah. Who's all going to be at the party?
I've got Joe Harris on drums, Paddy Blight on bass guitar, Adam Sweet, who's actually performing at the Tynmouth Jazz Festival okay. this year. I've got James Davies on guitar and John Bangham on piano. I've also got a support act, which is a comedy duo by the name of Los Nobos. And they're good friends of mine. They're wonderful, like, observation
yeah.
comedy. They sing songs about, like, taking the kids camping and all the kind of disasters that happen around that. And they're hilarious.
Oh, that sounds good. It sounds like it's going to be a really fun night. And Thunderflower is sending over a few bottles of gin. We've got some gin and tonics there too.
That's right.
So that'll be good. So the tickets, again, they're available on Eventbrite.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of your future, so kind of where do you kind of see music? It's your second album. So this yep. is your sophomore effort. And so we're going to see, I'd just like to hear about what the future holds for you.
Yeah, I think I've got a lot of, obviously, with this album, I've got more material now to be able to convincingly go out as a singer songwriter.
Yes.
The first album had 8 songs, and which is enough for some, you know, for some set lists. But perhaps there weren't enough upbeat songs. Whereas this album now has given me a lot more dynamic to be able to have a set list of upbeat songs that yes. I could play at festivals. Some of the more slower, more kind of, you know, more moody songs I could play mm-hmm. in sort of, you know, another place where that might benefit. So it's a case of just picking and choosing how I market the myself and the songs, mm-hmm. putting it into the right environment so that it works, rather than just trying to, you know, play in sort of the wrong places, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
I don't want to be sort of trying to play my own music where people don't want to hear it.
Yes, yes. It's the opposite. It's got to be the right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good. So yeah, are you ready for your quick fire round?
I am.
Okay. Now I know that you're from up in Sheldon.
Yeah.
So yeah, have a think about these questions. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite restaurant?
Hands down, it's got to be Nourish in Tynmouth.
Ooh.
It's a plant-based restaurant.
Yes.
And I'm all about the plant-based, so.
I love that.
That's my fave.
What's your favorite beach?
Ooh, good question. I like anywhere with a white, sort of a golden sandy beach. Sheldon isn't blessed with that, unfortunately. But I do love Sheldon. But anywhere like, I guess, Exmouth, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of, you know, or perhaps maybe even over in down towards... where would it be? Down in Torquay, here in Torquay, rather, I should say.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've got lots of nice white sandy beaches. So yeah, anywhere.
We certainly like do, and they earned a lot of blue flags this week, so that's
okay.
Great. And what's your favorite place to play live music?
Anywhere where anyone will listen.
I love that.
But seriously, I think I've had a lot of good experiences lately by stepping out of my comfort zone where people don't know me.
Mm.
I played recently up at the old workshop in Humber Barn, which is in Bishopstainton.
Oh, okay. No,
and
I didn't know that place.
That was quite nice. And it seemed as though there were a lot of people there that hadn't heard of me, even though it was on my doorstep.
Yeah.
So it was a nice, real experience, you know, of getting a real honest feedback from people.
Good.
I'm going up to Dorset to do a gig tonight, and it'll be the same sort of thing, you know, a real test of, you know, what really people really think of me, not just, oh, it's Ollie, we know him, and yeah. you know, he's great, but it's, yeah, I like the more honest response.
Yeah, I know when off mic you said that you were playing kind of like 5 gigs in 4 days. Do you want to run through those real quick?
Yeah, I'm at the Hive in West Bay in Dorset mm-hmm. tonight.
Okay.
The Spinning
Beautiful place. I've been to the Hive.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, it's amazing. Hi, yeah. Tim.
At the Spinning Wheel tomorrow night on, that's Friday the, where are we, Friday the 19th.
At the Spinning Wheel on Paignton?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Oh, we might have to come out and see it.
Yeah, that's with my good friend Roger Stiles.
So okay. What time does that start?
9:30, I believe it is.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. We won't see you.
Oh, okay.
Torbay Hospitality doesn't, it gets to bed early.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah,
wise move.
I know,
yeah.
I know. We need our sleep.
Saturday, I'm in Rock Bottom in Tynmouth, again with Roger.
Wow.
Sunday, I'm at the Dart Music Festival.
Oh, that's epic. Yes, yeah. We're definitely going over there
okay.
this weekend.
So I'll be there.
Where are you playing at the Dart Music Festival?
That's the Yacht Club, I believe is what it's called.
Which yeah. one?
Oh, good
I
question.
Think there's two.
Okay, I better get the right one then.
I think there's a Royal Dart and the Dart. So yeah, you better get the right one.
I'll make sure I check which one it is.
Google that one.
Yeah.
Way. Brilliant.
And finally, I'll be at the Cot Inn in Dartington again with Roger.
Oh, I heard that the Cot is beautiful.
Yes, I hear the food is exquisite.
What day is that?
That's Sunday evening. Sunday the... What? I don't even know.
Which, I don't know.
What
whatever Sunday is. It's
21st,
all right.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It was lovely to hear you and to hear from you and to hear what your music's all about and to give a listen to these... to these beautiful songs.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And we'd like to give a shout out to all of the businesses that are representing Torbay at the Devon County Show this weekend. We want to say hello to Tam's Kitchen, Big Bakes, Dartmoor Brewery, hi Craig, Wild Gelato, Thunderflower, and Edward's Fudge Kitchen. And of course, our colleagues at Bays, Peter and Sean, hello. The Devon County Show is on this week and it's from Thursday through Saturday. And it's not to be missed. All things associated with Devon, animals, tractors, food, dogs, and crafts and gardening. Tickets are available on their website, devoncountyshow.co.uk. And the event is located near Exeter. It's at the West Point Arena. So you just visit their website for all of the details and information. Has Indy Yang ever been to the Devon County Show?
Yes. Do love the Devon County Show. It's always a rush back for Saturday service, but we go early.
Yeah.
And yeah, because you've got all the fun fairs there and you get to meet some amazing people all around. And I think it's just it's great to get away from the hustle and bustle of your week. It's a real nice place to take the family and just start to find things that you just wouldn't necessarily find on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, all of the businesses that are there, and I know most of them, are phenomenal. So yeah, if it's a nice, sunny, hot day, that Wild Gelato is going to go down very well.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, they're one of the best. That's super. Thanks. And over in attractions news, Cockington Court's Sculpture Trail is back for 2023. The theme for this year's trail is outer space. So bring the family to Cockington and explore all the art pieces that are scattered around in the manor house and the grounds. And if you're an artist that's interested in taking part, visit the Cockington Court website for more information on how to apply. That's really interesting.
I think it's great. And space is interesting, I think, to most people.
Yeah.
We're always wondering, what are we doing on this rock in the middle of this universe? Doing what? And what else is out there? And there are a lot of artists, budding artists in the area. And I think it'd be great for them to get involved. So if you're umming and ahhing about it, apply.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's great. I want to see, yeah, it's interesting to see that there are a couple exhibits like this that are going on for the entire summer. So the sculpture trail will be around for the whole summer. And the other thing that we mentioned a couple podcasts back is Paddington. There's a big exhibit at Tor Abbey, and that'll be all summer as well. So there are some kind of like standing items that you can take the family to all summer. So that's brilliant. And now we're going to cut away to an interview with Sarah Gunn. Now, she handles all of the business relationships along the Southwest Coast Path. Let's have a listen. All right, and here we are with Sarah Gunn. She works with businesses all up and down the Southwest Coast Path and represents the Southwest Coast Path Association. She's here to tell us all about their special anniversary and about their new passports for 2023. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello, thanks for having me on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so delighted that you could join us. I know that the Southwest Coast Path, you know, is a big part of many people's holidays, and a lot of people come walking, and tourists and locals alike enjoy the path itself. Can you tell us a bit about your association and your big anniversary this year?
Yeah, well, you're right. 9 million people use the path every year.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a lot of people, isn't it? And they bring 520 million into our local economy. And it's 630 miles long.
Mm.
And we are the charity which looks after that path. We protect it and we care for it, which is increasingly important because there's a lot of climate change going on and the weather conditions are sort of destroying the path.
Yes.
And we share it with people. So we tell them information about it and we help them to enjoy it, which is where our passport comes in.
Okay.
And we've been doing that as the association for 50 years.
Oh, okay. Right. It's your 50th anniversary. What is that? Gold. It's your golden anniversary.
It is our golden anniversary.
Congrats.
And it's all down to a couple of very keen walkers back in the 1970s when national trails were being created as part of the Natural Health Service. They went off and walked the first national trail, which is the Pennine Way,
mm-hmm.
came back to Devon and decided they could create a similar thing for the Southwest using the ancient Coast Guard path. You know, if you watch Poldark, you see where they're looking out for smugglers and people along the... Yes, so the whole of the coast path, the Southwest Coast Path, is based along that route. And it's one of the... It's the second longest national trail in England.
Okay.
And one of the longest continuous routes, you know, right next to the sea. So that's, I think, why people enjoy it so much. You know, it's got everything, really. It's got ups and downs and, you know, sort of beautiful views and an ability to sort of be right next to the sea, but also in the countryside, amazing wildlife, you know, seals along the way, lots of unique wildlife to that lovely little strip of land that we call the path.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, don't think of the path as being like an attraction. I didn't realize there were that many people who visited the path every year. That's incredible.
Well, I think also, you know, as you said, lots of locals use it. You know, they take their dog for a walk on it every day, but they don't necessarily know they're on what is designated as the Southwest Coast Path, which is what our association was originally about, you know, getting that designation, which actually means, you know, that we in the Southwest have this sort of, you know, internationally renowned and popular path, really, which, you know, is visited by so many people every year and enjoyed and does also generate, you know, lots of money for business, but also gives amazing health and well-being benefits. We had a survey done that showed that if you got out and about on the path and, you know, you're in that blue and green, it can save the NHS £40 million a year. It is saving the NHS £40 million a year by people just, you know, enjoying that. So as a charity, that's what we're doing, sharing the health and well-being benefits with people, trying to make that as accessible as possible to everyone, protecting the beautiful environment, which includes, oh my goodness, it's the path includes one national park, which is Exmoor, 5 areas of outstanding natural beauty, 2 UNESCO World Heritage Sites,
hey.
And 1 UNESCO Geopark. So it's an amazing thing, really.
I was going to say, we're the Geopark over here. We're representing. That's brilliant.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, that's you. So that's good.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah, I absolutely love that. And did you say now that there are passports? I heard a little bit about that last year, but now the passports have like you've got a sponsorship working with a local company.
That's right. Well, what happened last year is we trialled our thing called the Coast Path Passport, which was inspired by, I don't know if people have heard of the Camino de Santiago. It's an ancient pilgrimage walk across the top of Spain. Actually, a film has been made about it.
Is that the Camino?
The Camino.
I know somebody who's on the Camino right now. That is crazy.
You know, any long distance walk is an amazing journey for people, and that, you know, that's why people come to do the path.
Yes.
We based it on that. I did the Camino actually, and it's a lovely little memoir So we've got seven sections of the path, and we've had these beautiful wooden stamps made out of old Waymaker posts, each with their own icon to, you know, say about that area.
So
we worked with these Waymakers, and we selected about 50 of them to trial the path, the passport last year, and act as stamping points. So that's like cafes and pubs and, you know, visitor centres and museums and stuff like that. So, yeah, and now we've gone full on with a 50th anniversary version this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got between Plymouth and Exmouth, which is our South Devon stretch, we've got about 25 different businesses acting as these stamping points for us.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's like a local pub. And so you just walk along. You've got your passport. You walk along and then you spot the pub. And then you just go in and ask like behind the bar for the stamp or something.
Hopefully our lovely bar staff and people that are working with us will brief, which they should be.
They'll remember.
How busy it gets in tourist season. And all the stamping points are listed on the on our website.
Of course.
Because we're constantly updating them and recruiting new ones. But it's great for businesses, and it's a lovely thing for, you know, people to have a memory of their journey. And also, like, families quite like to collect the stamps. It's a nice thing to do.
That's brilliant.
Last year we had quite a lot of St. Austell Brewery pubs along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we've been very lucky to have a Luxury Coastal as our sponsor for the passport this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we made a special edition 50th passport with a lovely blue cover and some gold writing. And that has been selling so quickly from our online shop. We've virtually sold out, you know, in the first week. So people love it, you know, which we're really pleased about.
Where do people get the passport from? So where do they go to? What's the website?
They can buy the passport in our online shop, and we're currently we're starting to have some of the passport stamping points to stock it. So that will probably be the Tourist Information Centre in Torquay, but we're just getting them out to the stamping points as well.
Okay,
sell them there, and then, you know, everything we do and the way we work with businesses, is about supporting us in our work as a charity to protect and care and share for the path, and doing it really like a partnership, because, you know, the businesses obviously benefit from the path, but we benefit from having the businesses to create, you know, a lovely South West Coast path experience and to, you know, generate income for the local communities and just, you know, let all do it together, really, because we've got this amazing asset here in the South West. So, you know, help us look after it, really.
Okay. That's brilliant. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. It was so much fun. And it was really great to hear about this attraction that's all around us all the time, but I don't think it doesn't get nearly enough credit. So thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having us. That was great. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Cheers. Thanks.
And the last little item in attractions news is not little at all. Kent's Cavern is for sale for £2.5 million. This prehistoric cave complex is advertised as Britain's oldest home, which is very clever marketing tactic. It features many networks of caves and replicas of Ice Age animals. And the caves have been owned by the same family since 1903. Hi, Nick. And is only now being sold on to another buyer. So, and it also comes, of course, with a visitor center and a big cafe. I think it's a real moneymaker. What do you think, Rahan?
Yeah, I remember going there as a child and very much enjoying when they turned all the lights out and being scared to death. But from an energy point of view, you're certainly going to save some money there. The caves in themselves are amazing.
Yeah.
And I think for someone to come in and take over from the wonderful work that's already been done already is going to be brilliant for Torbay to keep that going and have that attraction there for the thousands of people that come down and come through those caves have doors? No.
No, yeah, come through the caves.
Yeah. Come through the caves, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, very much looking forward to that. And I think it's a massive staple of Torbay that everybody knows about.
Yeah, and I think that they are also the stewards of the UNESCO Geopark. And so I think that they kind of do the application or renew the application when it comes due. And they also, you know, just are kind of, you know, in charge of that whole kind of aspect of Torbay. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with that, because I think it's kind of attached to them. Because it's so, you know what I mean? It's so critical, that prehistoric site.
Well, and I think from an international tourist point of view, it's definitely on their list to visit. So, it's a tourist attraction that we definitely need to keep going. But 2.5 million quid, bargain.
Bargain. Yeah, that one. And then Burr Island, right?
Yeah.
So we've got another new feature for summer, and this is called On the Water. So at the Royal Torbay Yacht Club, Discover Sailing is an initiative to get you and the family to experience the joy of water sports. And so whether it's your first time or you'd like to get back into sailing, it's this Sunday, the 21st of May. Contact Larissa at 01803-292-006. And here's one for the diary. On Sunday, the 28th of May, so that's kind of next week, there's the Brixham Heritage Regatta, and they've got 30 classic boats, you know, the Brixham kind of red sailboats with the red sails. The best viewing is supposed to be from the breakwater, and they set sail at 11:30 a.m. And now for the jobs listing. The Offshore is hiring an assistant manager, and you can find out more on their Instagram account. Harbour Inn in Paignton is looking for bar staff and floor staff to join their team with an immediate start. Curie's Kitchen in Brixham is hiring a sous chef and front of house staff member. And Fishcombe Cove is hiring a weekend cafe assistant. And we hope that they hire somebody, because we want Chloe to come on the podcast next week. Hi, Chloe. And the Church House Inn in Marlden is looking for a part-time kitchen porter. And this is our star job of the week. Check this one out. Kingfisher in Brixham is hiring two business development managers that are going to be based in their kind of Oxford or Cotswolds area, and also in Southampton, sort of New Forest area. And check this out. They offer a huge benefits package. You get private insurance and a pension, a car, a mobile, discounts, and more. So if you are looking for a change, check out their recent Instagram post, or you can apply on Indeed. Doesn't that sound great?
Oh, it's got everything you need.
I know, right? I couldn't believe they had a car. That's amazing. So yeah, check that out. So that's Kingfisher in Brixham. If you want to look, change of location, change of scene, get involved. And over to the live music calendar. Well, it wouldn't be a live music calendar without mentioning that the Dart Music Fest is on for this weekend. They've got tons of live music, and we're headed over there, so we'll definitely see you there. And I think that's where all of the bands are, because we don't have anything on until Saturday. The Mojos are playing Griffin Bar from 4 p.m. on Saturday. There's live piano and vocals from John Clare at Elton's on Torwood Street from 8. The Riviera Dogs are playing at the Spinning Wheel in Paignton. Tickets are £8 or in advance. £8 in advance or 11 on the door. And the Polk Arms in Hennick, that's out near Bovey Tracy, they're having karaoke on Saturday from 9. And on Sunday, Harbour is playing at the Blue Anchor in Tynmouth at 3 p.m. And rock band Aquila is playing the Spinning Wheel in Paignton from 6 p.m. All right, Rehan, are you ready for the prize draw?
Let's do this.
I love it. I love this energy. So what we were trying to get to over 1,000 followers, because we want to start doing these on Instagram Live. So we're counting on you, people. Go over to our Instagram, Torbay Hospitality, and give us a follow. But in the meantime, we did have a competition. So you had to kind of tag a friend, and both of you follow us, and then we would give away 2 bottles of champagne. Rehan, you can testify, there's champagne over there, isn't there?
That's real live champagne. It exists.
So we just need you to pick a number between 1 and 66, and then we will do the count. We'll count the posts and find out who that is, and then we'll get in touch with them to send out their champagne for them. Ready? Right? Number between 1
32.
Amazing. Alex, you going to write that down?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, Rahan, you ready for the quick fire round?
Oh, yes. Let's do this.
Right. So you're into so much, it's been really hard to decide what to ask you.
Okay.
So I was just going to ask you what the future holds for Indie Yang in 3 words.
Right. 3 words.
It's a quick fire.
I'm trying to think of 3 words that make sense. We will win.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I love that. So your weather outlook for this weekend, unreal. It's predicted to be sunny all weekend between 17 and 18 degrees, and we will see you over in Dartmouth. So make sure that you drop us a 5-star review and tell other people about the podcast, and please give us a follow on Instagram when you see this. Thank you to Rahan Udin for coming out today and giving us a great co-hosting slot. Thanks.
Oh, it's been awesome. Thanks for having me. And looking forward to seeing everyone up at Indie Yang at some point to provide you with those brand new taste memories. There's 3 words.
Brand new taste memories. New taste memories.
New taste memories.
So we've got Indie Yang on Belgrave Road. Do you have to book online?
Preferable if you do book, but you can also walk in. So, if you're taking a sort of chance on a Saturday, good luck to you.
That's right. So book online, indieyang.com. Thanks again for coming out. Have a good weekend, everyone.